And I had woken up sort of one more morning at 4 o'clock in the morning thinking, oh, this is not working. And so I got up and I went downstairs. I kind of meditated for a minute. I got level set. And then I just started thinking about what could it look like? What does different look like for me? And I started to plot out a path that was different from what I was doing. But 7 o'clock in the morning, I had started to frame out what that looked like. And I started to have a list of people. And shortly thereafter, I had emails sent out to those people. And by midday that day, I'd received a couple of responses. And one of those responses turned into an opportunity that had me changing everything I was doing within 4 weeks. I was in a different role, a different organization, and on a different path. But that experience is where I really point to say this was the unlock. It was the proof to myself, the evidence that says, hey, when you set an intention, you just need to do the work and you start to see the results. And that happened for me real time.
My name's Dr. Gary Crotaz, and I'm a coach, podcaster, and award-winning author of The Idea Mindset, a book about how to figure out what you want and how to get it. The unlock moment is that flash of remarkable clarity when you suddenly know the right path ahead. When I'm in conversation with my coaching clients, these are the breakthroughs that are so profound that they remember vividly where they were, who they were with, what they were thinking when their unlock moment happened. In this podcast, I'll be meeting and learning about people who have accomplished great things or brought about significant change in their life, and you'll be meeting them with me. We'll be finding out what inspired them, how they got through the hard times, and what they learned along the way that they can share with you. Thank you for joining me on this podcast to hear all about another Unlock Moment. Hello, dear listener, and welcome to another episode of the Unlock Moment podcast. Today, we're heading across to Toronto to chat with one of Canada's top leadership coaches. Andy Martiniello is an accomplished executive coach with over 25 years of business development and team leadership, bringing a wealth of lived experience to his coaching practice. His recent role as the global head of growth for Strategizer, a leading Swiss innovation consultancy, immersed him in a world of strategy and innovation tools, which he regularly incorporates into his coaching approach. Andy is part of the Marshall Goldsmith 100 Coaches community, in common with many esteemed past guests here on the Unlock Moment. And he's also on the International Coaching Federation Toronto board as the Director of Corporate Outreach. He knows what it takes to lead and to coach leaders at the top table of high-performing businesses. Andy Martiniello, it's my very great pleasure to welcome you to the Unlock Moment.
Oh, the pleasure is mine, Gary. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to our conversation. Now, beginnings are important, and I often ask this question to begin a conversation. If we were to really understand the person you are today, where would we need to start in your story?
Boy, you know, I guess it really would be back in the beginning. I think about, and I often think about actually, how I grew up, the environment in which I grew up in, and how it set me up to be the person that I am today. And I guess to say a little bit more about that, I grew up, you know, my family, we all immigrated here to Toronto together in the very early 70s. And so my parents were, of course, immigrants. They did their best to integrate into the Canadian culture. And it was challenging. It was challenging for them. And it was challenging for me as well. What I found myself in was a circumstance where my parents were very distracted with their own lives. And it kind of left me a little bit on my own to navigate my own path. And that sort of resulted in a bit of a turbulent experience throughout high school. And then ultimately me going out on my own, I would say a relatively young age, at around 17, almost 18 years old. And so that kind of thrust me out into the world. And upon reflection, not entirely prepared. And yet, I think it set me up to then have a particular sense of, I suppose, resilience that I've taken into the rest of my life. And it's, I suppose, it served me relatively well.
Yeah, I remember that same sort of sense. I remember leaving home at 18 and not being as prepared as I thought I was for the world outside. And that can be a bit of a wake-up call for people. As I often think about sort of the first time in your life where you suddenly go, I didn't really feel prepared for that thing that I'm doing. What were you doing at 17, 18 when you left home?
I was working in a warehouse, essentially, sort of stocking shelves and working as a shipper's assistant. And so I've often reflected on that and thought, well, that wasn't really what I was intended to do. Certainly, I was directionless, quite frankly, Gary. I mean, that's probably the best way to answer that is I didn't really have a good sense of where I should be or what I should be doing. And I was quite alone in the sense that, you know, my family, my parents had actually, they had relocated to a spot about 3 hours outside of Toronto, and I had elected not to go with them. And so I had one of, I think, you know, many moments in my life, even back then, saying, okay, well, I'm doing this work so that I can create a living for myself because I need to. And this work doesn't fit up with what my potential is. It doesn't align with what I know I can do. And so this is one of the reasons why I think that beginning really set me up to be who I am today, is that I, again, had kind of the first of many moments where I thought, okay, I have to actively change the way that I'm showing up in the world. I have to really dig into, you know, what are my resources? What is my network? And how do I optimize that to, you know, get a little bit more aligned? And so from there, started to get more proactive and make some decisions. I have a recollection of even way back then, kind of waking up in the morning. This seems to be the pattern for me, waking up in the morning and saying, this isn't working. I need to do it differently. And doing my best even then to make things happen a little bit differently for myself.
The words I wrote down here when you were talking through were sort of anchors and roots, actually, because, you know, the immigrant coming into the country and trying to find your connections. And then you talked about your parents moving and you not moving with them. And, you know, I think there are people where, particularly where at the moment or around the time when they leave home, their parents also move. And when they go and see their parents, they're not going to their home. It's always a particular thing about, you know, it can feel like the loss of roots, actually. Does that sort of sense of, I don't know, whether do you feel anchor less or root less in that journey?
Yeah, it's a terrific noticing, Gary, and it's spot on. I felt sort of untethered, and I often think that has also been somewhat of a defining energy in my life, is a sense of searching, and a sense of, you know, not having that anchor, not feeling those roots. And it's only, I would say, really since I connected with my wife and we started our family. And so that would be, you know, 15 years ago, roughly. And I'm, you know, I've been doing this for a while. So it was kind of only for the last 15 years that I've really genuinely felt like I have a home, I have a place, I have a, you know, a space that I go to. And even if we were to move, you know, that sense of being rooted somewhere, it's not necessarily a physical thing, right? It's an emotional and psychological thing. I feel like I have a core now, you know, and I have thought that many times. It kind of feels, you know, when that became clear to me that this was the relationship that we're building. And of course, when we had our daughter, I recognized that, sort of for the first time in my life, I feel rooted. We've lived in the house that we're in now for longer than I've lived anywhere in my entire life. So there's lots of things that point to that. And that for sure was, you know, hugely contributory to the way I live my life, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You made me think of a very recent conversation I had with world leading coach Michael Bungestenia, who came on the podcast, and he talked about his interview to be a Rhodes Scholar. And one of the questions was along the lines of, you know, you've done this and then you've done that, and now you're applying for the scholarships so that you can do something else. Can't you decide? And the conversation we had was around society's expectations that you do decide that you have a path, that you have a foundation, all these kinds of things. And I love this word untethered, actually, because on the one hand, it can describe that sense of being, you know, without an anchor or without roots in that moment, but also it can equally describe a freedom, you know. And
right.
Do you see untethered as a positive today?
It feels like a much safer space, because where, you know, I have now feel very anchored in this family, I sort of maintain and have been maintaining this ongoing search for what does work with meaning look like? What does impact in the course of the work that I do look like? And that has kept me untethered in a way that I think broadly serves me, and for sure has a bit of a challenging element with it as well. You know, I've many times thought, well, you make me think of that. So the story you told about Michael resonates. I think I've probably heard him tell that same story. He, of course, a fellow Torontonian, at least part time, right? And a terrific, terrific guy altogether.
Yeah.
Where there's this notion of kind of feeling challenged by myself in my own sort of internal voice, internal critic, and certainly by others to say, hey, like, can't you decide? Like, can't you find your place and just do that? Because it's disruptive, right? It's disruptive, certainly in my own life. And then, of course, to everybody else that is in my life. I am somewhat well known in my inner circle, and I suppose in external circles as well, as somebody who makes changes in my work. Many people don't really understand largely even the work that I do, but also the reason behind that, right? Because many people, of course, that I know, you know, have a career. They started one thing and they continued it, and they do really well, and they continue to expand and grow in that role, in their roles, but they do this sort of the same thing. And so it seems, at least on the surface of it, that I have not done that, right? Where I've made so many changes and things are always sort of evolving. And I think that part of the advantage comes from this willingness to be untethered, this willingness to lean into that and say, yeah, there's risk here and there's opportunity here, by allowing myself to explore and really stay open and believe that I can accomplish things that are aligned to my capabilities and what I have available to myself. I think I can do more. I can do more in my life. And optimally, and sort of underpinning all that is an idea and a notion to create positive outcome and to do things with a positive impact. So
there's a lot of commonality between what you're saying there and what Scott Osman, a good friend of yours and mine, came on the podcast some time ago and was talking about his path to expansion. And there's a great sort of connection between the way he talked about it and the way you've just talked about it, which is amazing. There's something about people who are ready to go on the coaching journey that I often describe as something needs to change, but I don't know what. And when we were talking before we recorded about your unlocked moment, there was a moment in your life where something needed to change, but you didn't know what it was in that moment. Bring us into that moment. What's happening for you when you think of this unlocked moment of remarkable clarity?
Yeah. So up until that moment, the moment that I had this sort of that unlock moment, the things that I was doing professionally, I feel like I was really hiding out. Like I have a career of selling. You mentioned it in my introduction, right? So, and that's terrific. I consider myself to be a professional salesperson and a sales leader, and I'm proud of that work. And I think that in that, for myself, I was limiting myself. I wasn't really making it available to push and do the thing that has been sort of calling me, and I want to say right from the beginning, to do things a little bit differently. Here's where that frustration has sat. It's, you know, in a sales process, or at least the work that I was doing, I would take the effort right to the point of delivery and execution, and I would hand it off. And that's the normal, you know, in many environments, it's the normal approach. And I always felt frustrated by that. I always felt like there was, you know, just not enough. I wanted to be more of the person that was in the delivery, that really saw the impact and the outcome. And what I realized in that moment was that I was shortchanging myself by not allowing myself to open that door, to really enable the work that would let me do that. Like, let me get to the front of the room. Let me be the person that, you know, facilitates whatever engagement it is. And really, within the overarching work of helping people develop themselves, that was the other key element, the nature of the work that I was doing at the time. Not only was it, you know, kind of just focused on selling and then passing it on for someone else to implement, but also just the space, it was not really conducive to what I feel like I'm designed to do, which is help people stay in a very, you know, sort of on that human level, like really working with people as they explore what it is that makes a difference for them, what it is that they're, to, as you'd said, where are they stuck and how do they get unstuck? And so in that moment, and what had been happening for me was I was feeling frustrated. I was feeling really actually starting to get anxious. I was struggling with you know, getting the right sort of level of sleep and all of those things. It was really starting to disrupt my life. And I had woken up sort of one more morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, thinking, oh, this is not working. But this time I stopped and said, no, this is really not working. Something has to be done differently here. And so I got up and I made a very intentional effort to say, okay, what needs to change? And I went downstairs. I kind of meditated for a minute. I got level set. And then I just started thinking about what could it look like? What does different look like for me? And I started to plot out a path that was different from what I was doing. And I started to think about, okay, well, where would I work? And what type of organization would it look like? And who are the people that I'm working with? Like, what do they look like? And then who are they in real life? Like, who can I start to actually identify in my current network that represent this picture that I'm starting to paint? And I'd gotten up, as I say, quite early, around 4 o'clock in the morning. So by about 7 o'clock in the morning, I had started to frame out what that looked like. And I started to have a list of people. And shortly thereafter, I had emails sent out to those people. And by midday that day, I'd received a couple of responses. And one of those responses turned into an opportunity that had me changing everything I was doing within 4 weeks. I was in a different role, a different organization, and on a different path. And what's interesting there is that not only was the path different, I was now working with a different organization, but that experience is where I really point to say this was the unlock. It was the proof to myself, the evidence that says, hey, when you set an intention, you just need to do the work and you start to see the results. And that happened for me real time. And as I was talking to my wife, Jen, and we're kind of marveling at this. I was like, wow, I just said I wanted to do this differently. I just literally woke up one morning and said, no, I want to do this differently. And then I got into action around it. And now it's different. And here's the evidence. So it wasn't an accident. Nobody reached out to me and said, hey, we somehow, you know, just thought you would be good for this. Like, I went and did it. And so that triggered a new way of thinking for me. And that has really been the change for me. Because now and ever since, I have taken that and applied it to all of the things that I'm doing. So I've continued to evolve my work. I've continued to change the things that I'm doing, but very much on this path of saying, how do I get to be a coach full-time? How do I get to be a facilitator and a trainer, a speaker? These are all the things that I want to do. So continually setting intentions, doing the work, and seeing how that comes to life. And so everything has changed from that moment. And I've certainly had multiple moments since where I've had, you know, an opportunity to really push myself further. But I feel like it all started right there in that moment.
It's such a brilliant articulation of an unlock moment. And, you know, you talk about all the things that came from that, which often in our lives, those are the things that we almost remember more. I remember, you know, quitting my job that I was in. I remember starting the new job. I remember building my speaking career, whatever it was. The unlock moment is the moment when you knew that something needs to change, or knew that you were going to do something about it, or knew that you needed to send out those emails, whatever it is. And that, I find, that moment and understanding the drivers behind that moment tells you something very powerful about purpose. So that morning, 4 a.m., there have been other mornings at 4 a.m. What made that one different?
Well, that's such a good question. It was just such an energetic experience. It was a feeling of realization. Somehow there was like an awakening that said, hey, I'm having too many of these mornings. This is too much. And I suppose, you know, there's this accommodation that we create for changes and anomalies in our life, right? Where, you know, something happens and we just sort of dismiss it as, oh, that's okay, whatever. Or I'm unwell, you know, something doesn't feel right. Well, give it a minute, it'll go away. And somehow it just creeps up. And there's a tipping point at which you say, wait, now, maybe I should go see somebody about this, because this doesn't seem to be going away. And that's what happened for me in that moment. It was like this tank just filled and it spilled over and said, no, I need to drain this. This isn't working. And so, yeah, it pushed me to action. I wish I had a better, you know, thing to point to say, oh, it was this, but it was just just accrued over time, and it tipped over. And again, one of the things that I'm left with is an awareness and a sensitivity to that experience as well, because now I'm familiar with that sensation, and I can almost, you know, start to catch it before it gets to the point of, okay, this is an overflow. Mm-hmm. I actually need to, I can feel this starting to get, you know, is building. How do I get ahead of that? What do I need to do to actually optimize that energy? Because I don't want to lose it. Like, that energy pushed me into doing something different that has changed everything in my life. So I want to mine for that. I want to source it and say, where, you know, when it starts to happen, okay, what's that telling me? What can I learn? And then how can I just jump on that wave and ride it? Because something good is going to happen here, as long as I stay aware of it, stay awake to it, and then stay intentional, so that I'm going to do the work. I'm going to move it from theory to practice, and ultimately to some form of mastery, potentially, depending on what it is, right? But I need to be aware of it. So yeah, it's left me again with another tool that was sort of built just in the experience.
And I think that something you bring to life there that's really powerful, and I hope the listeners will tune into that too, is that there's something in us that makes us feel like there should be something, there should be a more profound reason why that was the moment. But actually, in a very articulate way, you say, the 4 a.m.s before, there have been many of these. And that one was, there have been too many of these. And there is a difference between the two. The other thing that you described that I think is a really useful takeaway for people, I talk sometimes about the idea of an irreversible commitment. People make commitments, people take action, but often people get stuck with, I didn't mean to do it, but I never got round to it, whether it is getting on with making the plan ahead or going out for a run or, you know, whatever the thing is. What makes a commitment irreversible is when you take one action that means it's definitely happening and it can't stop now. And that moment of, at 4 a.m., you went, there have been too many 4 a.m.s. Therefore, this is the time I'm going to start getting my piece of paper and pen and sketching out my plan. But by 7 a.m., you'd sent emails out. What did it feel like once the first emails had gone?
Yeah, exhilarating. I mean, this is now, boy, I got to say, maybe 10 years ago. And I can still feel it. I can still feel that energy of getting into action.
Yeah.
And getting a growing sense of clarity and this deep relief that said, oh, I have agency. I have control. Because if I think about it and reflect about it, the feeling of that 4 a.m. and all the ones that preceded it was a sense of lack of control and, mm-hmm. and, you know, just such a deep uncertainty. The word despair, I mean, it feels too heavy. It just this, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do and this isn't working. And I have all of these other, you know, responsibilities. I need to manage all these things. And there was such a heaviness and a need and I don't know. And then suddenly it's like, wait, why don't I just do this? Why don't I just try it and see what happens? What's the cost? No cost. Okay, then try. Let's go. And so again, another thing I'm left with as I go through and, you know, will continue to, without a doubt, have those moments of deep uncertainty, pressure, you know, all of those things and think, okay, what do I need to try? Mm-hmm. And, you know, starting to get faster and faster and short circuiting that so that it gets like, okay, let me optimize all the energy and just go at it and get that feeling again of like, oh yeah, I'm in action. I'm moving towards it. And if it doesn't work, great. I'm going to learn a lot. I'm going to continue to go mm-hmm. and just continue to believe in myself and, mm-hmm. and stay in perspective. And that's, you know, actually reminds me of another sort of little sideline that happened to start at the same time. Was I had always known of Stoicism and this in sort of concert with this original sort of moment of unlock, Stoicism kind of reappeared for me in a way that really was incredibly timely. Many would say it's not a coincidence. And it gave me another tool and an outlet to reframe my perspective. And it was a huge help. Particularly in those early days, like I feel a lot more comfortable with the process these days. You know, back then I was still, obviously it wasn't a switch, right? It was an unlock, but it certainly wasn't like, okay, great. I got this now, right? There was still tons, yeah. right? Of course. And so, you know, having that framing, that the ancient wisdom and, you know, to be able to zoom out in those moments of like really high uncertainty and some anxiety to say, wait a minute, right? What's really happening here? What is really at risk? And so a lot of the thinking of Stoicism helped me, and it still certainly does today, and certainly informs my thinking. But so that was just sort of it was one of the many things that came out of that moment and that experience.
Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful coaching questions I know is what's really going on? And I can hear that in what you're saying. Telling other people is a powerful thing to do. When I left my last corporate role and I wrote on LinkedIn that I was going to start writing a book. And I hadn't actually started writing it by that point, but I just decided myself that I was going to go on that journey. And for some reason that day, I decided to post on LinkedIn about it. And it went a little bit viral and something like 20,000 people saw the post. And then I felt like I better do it now because all these people are expecting it. And that's come back to that idea of the irreversible commitment. The point of reaching out to others makes some momentum start with taking action that it takes it a little bit out of your hands sometimes in a way that kind of keeps it going, you know, the accountability partnership, but also the sense of I've told those people, so I don't want to come back to them and say, oh, I gave up or I never got round to it, whatever, you know. That moment of telling other people is really a powerful one where sometimes people, I find, hold back on telling other people until they know they can complete. But often the people that really get moving go, like you did, I'm going to send some emails out. You didn't have necessarily all the answers in the first 3 hours of the rest of your life, but you decided to kind of take that action. For you, what's that sort of power of partnership in going from thinking to action?
Yeah, it's so huge. It's so huge. And certainly in the work of coaches, as you know so well, being an accountability partner is one of the greatest parts of being a coach and having a coach. It's a gift, really. And so it's either done that way, like through a coach and or, you know, broadcasting a message. And as I said earlier, I do carry a sense of weight around me sort of publicly, and I say that, of course, in the small circle in which, you know, people pay attention to what I do, making changes, right? And you know, I feel the sort of sometimes the pressure of people watching and saying, well, what is it that you're doing, right? What is that really mean? And why are you doing all these things? And feeling like, because I have a reason, and I think it's going to make a difference, and I welcome your sort of scrutiny. I'm taking that on. And, you know, because when we ask ourselves, like, well, what is really important about putting that out there and holding accountability? Like, what if we do have to go back and say, oh, okay, it didn't work? What is the experience that we're having? What are the emotions that we're processing? Why are they so important? Like, you know, I think about, you know, as you mentioned there, Gary, that if that moment comes and you have to say, well, I tried it, but I'm no longer doing it. I've quit that. And there's a sense for me anyways of, it's a failure and I feel embarrassed. I feel, you know, all of these, you know, moments of uncertainty. What are people thinking? And it's not positive. Obviously, my inner critic fires off and says, "Hey, this is just like you. You're always doing this." And all of those things, right? And it's an amazing opportunity to say, okay, hang on. What is really happening? Exactly as you'd said, what is really happening here for me? Well, what is important about this? And what am I going to take from this to add to the next thing that, you know, keeps me on track with the big picture? How am I actually leaning further into this, taking all of the ownership and accountability to all of the decisions that I make? And rather than hesitating, because it can, you can, I certainly find it can certainly do that. I can get to that point going, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to be in this moment of uncertainty. I don't want to be in this moment where I, again, sort of broadcast to my network, yeah, this is the next step, right? I'm changing this because, you know, and then feeling like I have to sort of justify and all that. How do I move past that and say, this is the next step because this is the exciting thing about my journey, right? This is what's great about this. Because there can be this sort of negative element to it. And I think that's where we take the accountability and do something with it. Because holding ourselves accountable and having others help us hold accountable, it's a construct, right? It is a tool. It's what do we do with it, right? How do we actually take that accountability and optimize it, like activate it in a way that just does what it's supposed to do, which is strengthen the outcome, right? Rather than, because, you know, there's this potential that accountability can kind of beat you down a little bit, right? You're being held accountable, right? Versus being accountable, right? There's a different energy between those two things. And so as long as we're always able to define what it is we're allowing ourselves to be accountable for, and we can feel in our hearts and we always know, like, you got that full body response of, am I hiding out? Am I bailing on something? And if the answer is no, I'm actually good. I feel good about this. If I'm making a change and I understand it, even if maybe others don't, that's okay. We'll continue to go down that road. And then I guess I say that there's that balance of leveraging accountability as a really good tool and not letting it overwhelm and take its own path and, you know, get it in the hands of the inner critic and perhaps even people who maybe don't have your best intents in mind, right? So, yeah, there's a bit of a dance that can happen there with accountability.
I find this fascinating. So I started the Unlock Moment because I was curious about people and I was curious about these kind of breakthrough moments, but I didn't really understand them. And I'm learning every day when I'm talking to people on the podcast, particularly people who get it, who get, you know, the humanness of like life and career journeys and what makes us really tick with values and purpose, all that kind of stuff. And what I've been tuning into very recently is the connection between where somebody chooses to start describing their story, which for you was at a point in your childhood, but in particular that time around sort of leaving home and your parents moving, and then where they choose to talk about an unlocked moment, which for you was 4 o'clock in the morning and saying there's too many 4 a.m.s and something needs to change. And then something about who you are today. And I'll tell you what I heard here. And it does come back to this word untethered. But then I just wrote down the two words that you were talking about. One was accountability and the other was untethered. And for me, it plays to a really significant sort of almost evolution of the coaching conversation, where I think that a lot of people think that progression and growth, whether or not facilitated by coaching, is about choosing your goals, targeting your goals, delivering your goals, somebody else holding you accountable to deliver your goals, in very much in a box, in a very tightly constrained box. Get up in the morning, these are the five things I'm going to do. I must do those five things. I then must hit these three goals, and then I will become a millionaire. And surprise, surprise, most people don't become a millionaire.
Right.
But as you say, accountability itself is important, but in a way that is not so constrained, and you just connect with what is real and true and important for you. That idea of accountability untethered plays to something about you don't always have to have all the answers. You didn't know by 7 a.m. in your unlocked moment that you were going to be in a new job within 4 weeks. You didn't know whether you were going to be successful in that role. You didn't know a lot of those things. You might not have known at all that you were going to be today where you are now. But it's not to say accountability is not important at all. And it's a really interesting kind of connection, accountability untethered.
Yeah, I love that. I love that frame. It feels like it makes it, it adds a power to it. Because even as I'm saying and reflecting on what I just said, I get a visceral response that says, hey, did I just say that you can give yourself a free pass to accountability, right? Because it's not what I meant. And so I immediately feel like I should start to backtrack on that and say, no, because accountability, it's key. And yet it remains that yes, and there is an element of accountability that needs to be flexible. We need to be able to flex it. And I right. love the wording of accountability untethered. And it's, so how do you balance freedom with accountability? And, you know, I think that there are anchors in there. There are things that, at least for me, when I think about, okay, are there non-negotiable accountability pieces? Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm accountable to, you know, my family. I'm accountable to my daughter and to my wife and, you know, all of those things. And I'm accountable to the idea that I have about who I am and how I show up and what it is in my mind to just go out and be the best person I can be. I'm accountable to never giving up on all of that. And what it actually looks like, so embedded in there are so many different activities and actions and commitments and things. There's a flexibility in there that, you know, in the doing of them, as soon as I say, yeah, I'll do it, I'm accountable to it, of course. And then if things change, as things change, as long as it continues to align with, feels like I'm, you know, certainly tapping on the notion of core values, as long as it aligns with my core values, then I'm okay. I'm okay to make those changes and to see where that balance, like truly that balance, leaning into this idea of accountability untethered, what it can create, because we absolutely can limit ourselves. We can create that rigidity around the things that we say we're going to do. And I can reflect on things that I have done. I going back to my, you know, earlier years, feeling like, wow, I could have ended that sooner. I could have saved myself a couple of years of, you know, kind of misery doing this work. Right. But, and I remember specifically, well, no, but I started it. And, you know, there's this, you know, this saying, you start where you finish. Okay. Yes. And make sure we're looking at that. What does that really mean? What are you trying to finish? What is the thing? Right. And I didn't have, you know, the ability to really process that, back then, but it grind great learning. Right. So to avoid that, I think you're really onto something, Gary. I think that is a very powerful way to say it.
The debate that my coaching mentor, Claire Pedrick, and I were having recently was about, does every coaching conversation need to finish with, so what are you going to go and do next? And how are you going to hold yourself accountable and all those kinds of things? And I said, well, my instinct says sometimes and oftentimes, that's a really powerful way to end a coaching conversation. Sometimes it's a really powerful way to end a coaching conversation, literally just to know that the person is happily off balance. And you can trust that over the following hour or day or week or month, they will probably find a new balance because people naturally do that. They naturally write themselves. And in finding that new balance, they will find a new clarity. And sometimes the path to the most powerful growth is not through, I already know what three actions I'm going to take, but there's other stuff that can go on. And particularly when, you know, you're in my kind of world of being interested in remarkable life breakthroughs, as opposed to, you know, how do I get to the gym more often this week? You know, it's a different kind of level. I think that it's making me think and making me take something away. I think about what does accountability untethered look like? So you haven't lost the accountability, but you've also got a freedom that it's not there's any one way of doing it. Fascinating. Fascinating. What is one thing you'd like people who've listened to you talking here, one thing you'd like them to go away and be thinking about, or one thing you'd like them to go away and do?
So for me, the message for myself, and I think has value for others, is, and it feels cliche, but it's so true. It really, everything is possible, really. You know, we make a decision and it really is just up to us. This notion that, you know, everything is invented. Everything that is happening is invented. And we're just as capable of inventing the thing for ourselves as anybody else is. It doesn't make it magically happen. And yet it's the beginning. And so simply by deciding that things need to be different, that is the beginning. And then believing that just getting into some kind of action and kind of riffing off of what you just said, it's the fullness of time will prove it out. It doesn't have to be every single conversation or every decision, every move is going to have some momentous, you know, return. It's just knowing that you're committed to this and saying, I want things to be different. Just committing to things being different. Not necessarily committing to what that is, and then continuing to be curious about that and be open to it and staying open to it and watching it unfold and, you know, doing the things that you need to do to make it come to life and giving yourself a break and you being in the flow of it. It is as available to anyone listening to this as it is to anybody else on the planet, and it always will be, and it always has been. Right, you don't have to go back too far to realize that this is just the way humans are. We have the ability to choose to live a life differently, and then get into the work of evolving that. And I spent many years not believing that, and I didn't even know I wasn't believing it. That was the thing. That was, you know, one of the many unlocks, right? Where it was, I didn't even know what I didn't know. I just thought this was the way life is, and then suddenly realizing, no, actually, I'm not just watching a movie when other people tell me that they made a change in their lives. That's real. They're doing it just as I can. And so I think that's one of the most powerful ideas that has ever come to life for me. And I think it's worth sharing.
Inspiring stuff. How can people find out more about you and the work that you do?
Well, people can reach out to me directly anytime. And I can certainly leave an email address, and that's probably the best way. I mean, between that and sort of my LinkedIn page, that's kind of where I hang out the most. And so would be thrilled if we were able to share that out and people can reach out to me, and I mean it sincerely. Anytime, I'm always here for a conversation and to help.
Fantastic. We'll put your email address in the show notes if you're comfortable to do that.
100%.
The unlock moment is that flash of remarkable clarity when you suddenly know the right path ahead. For world-leading coach Andy Martignello, it was a moment at 4 a.m., unable to sleep yet again, when he decided this time something just had to change. By 7 a.m., his new plan was underway, and several weeks later, he was in a new job. Accountability untethered, Andy, you've inspired us to get on and take charge of the path ahead if you really want to make a change. Thank you so much for telling your story and for joining me today on the Unlock Moment.
Thank you so much, Gary. Delighted to be here.
This has been The Unlock Moment, a podcast with me, Dr. Gary Crotez. Thank you for listening in. You can find out more about how to figure out what you want and how to get it in my book, The Idea Mindset. Find me on Instagram at Dr. Gary Crotez and subscribe to this podcast to get notified about future episodes. Most listeners to this podcast on Apple and Spotify haven't yet hit the follow button. If there's one thing you can do right now to help me out, then please click the follow button. The more followers I have, the better guests I can attract for you to learn from. Thanks again for listening, and join me again soon here on The Unlock Moment.